Three, two, one. The UAW has announced it might begin striking at some additional plants if they don't make any progress by the end of this week, with Ford, GM, and Stellantis joining me on the line to explain what all of this means and really the impact it's going to have on the economy is our friend, Fox Business correspondent Lauren Simonetti. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
God bless them that they think that they should get 40% increases from, like, that just seems insane to me. Where do things stand?
You didn't get a 40% raise?
Am I not crazy? How does that play with just everyday Americans?
I know. You know, I do have some sympathy for the auto workers that are striking, because they made so many concessions back in 2007, 2008, and they're dealing with the fact that they're making these electric vehicles that, quite frankly, they cannot afford to even buy as a consumer, in an industry where the administration's push to green and electric vehicles is going to put them almost out of work, because EVs don't require as many workers. So they're bold, they're loud. They saw what happened with the American Airlines pilots and with the Teamsters union at UPS. So they want more. But you are right, 40% is absolutely nuts. And right now what's happening is they get, there's a strike fund. Mm-hmm. It's about $800+ million. So these workers, because they're on strike, are getting $500 a week. Can you survive on $500 a week with the family?
Yeah, how long
you
can
they take
go?
Exactly. Well, you can take a second job, but the most you can make in that second job is $499. So can a family survive leading up to Christmas, getting all the Christmas presents for the family, et cetera, on $1,000 a week? Should this have legs? Someone's going to break first, and my gut right now is it's the unions. And let me tell you why. Not only is the 40% pay raise crazy, General Motors just laid off 2,000 workers. Mm-hmm. They've idled a plant in Kansas. That plant was not on strike, but it was supplied by a plant in Missouri that was on strike. This is General Motors flexing its muscles.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, when you look at just the power dynamic between the two and the strategy, there's clearly not at this point any danger to the auto industry, not in the moment. There's not a run on cars or not a lot of people. The fact of the matter is the economic conditions for the average American right now who cannot afford a new car probably plays in the favor of the big three, right? I mean, if everyone all of a sudden was rushing to go out and buy a car, well, then all of a sudden things might be a little bit different. But without that kind of pressure, you know, if I'm the big three automakers, I'm going to push this as long as I can before it really hurts. And, you know, you're thinking about the long-term pain here, and you're looking at that dwindling fund and the fact that people can't stay out of work on $500 a week.
I mean, the Ford CEO, Jim Farley, is already talking the B word, bankruptcy. If they gave the union most everything that they want, they wouldn't survive, period. Regardless of what consumer demand is, the winners out of this might be Tesla, might be mm-hmm. the automakers who set up shop in the non-union southern part of the country. Yep. You know, Georgia governor, the Republican, Brian Kemp, is saying, look, this labor strike is the consequence of blue state economic policies. Mm-hmm. And then if you look on the campaign trail, hey, the two Republican contenders from the state of South Carolina, Tim Scott and Nikki Haley, are saying fire the workers. Fire the workers, because, you know, do what Ronald Reagan did back in 1981 when the air traffic controllers went on strike. He fired them, which is so ironic, because guess what happens 1 week from today? The second Republican debate. Yep. Where is it? The Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California.
We'll be airing that debate live right here on KTTH starting at 6 p.m. and then, of course, doing some post-debate analysis afterwards. You know, you've got Donald Trump headed over to Detroit next week. Presumably, this is going to be entirely focused on this current predicament. You have the UAW president, not a fan of Donald Trump. Politically, how do you think this plays for Republicans? I can't help but think, when you tell the average person they're asking for 40% pay increase, if you're targeting that ask versus what the Democrats are doing and you know, pretending that that's reasonable, I think it just benefits the Republicans.
In a sense, yes. But I do think you get the sympathy that, look, I mean, these workers in an inflationary environment, they are struggling to get by, and they feel like the climate green push of the administration is jeopardizing their well-being and their job security, if you will. I think it's interesting that the union has not endorsed either side. Mm-hmm. They haven't endorsed Donald Trump, and they haven't endorsed Joe Biden. Joe Biden, while being the most pro-union president, has never walked a picket line. Why isn't he in Michigan? In fact, he was expected and said he would send a two-person team to Detroit this week, but now they're just monitoring everything remotely.
But, Lauren, he's wearing a red tie today. He wore a red tie today in honor of the UAW strike.
You're so clever. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, no, he did that intentionally. That was put out there by his team. I think it's the most arduous part of his day today is wearing that tie.
Me?
No, I saw that Jackie Heinrich reported it earlier today saying that, here we go. Today, President Biden is wearing a red tie in solidarity with UAW workers across the country. That's how he's giving back.
Oh, God. You know, the other thing is, as I'm debating in my head, though, like who wins, if there's going to be a winning side out of all this, unless everybody's losers. You know, Trump came out and he said, well, it was a scare tactic because of this strike. The upshot is going to be more cars and more EVs are made overseas.
Yep.
I get it. However, because of Biden's policies, they're rewarding companies that make green vehicles and employ American workers here in the United States. So I'm on the fence about who wins in the end. I'm thinking nobody. I think these union workers are not going to make the money that they want. They're stuck on $500 a week. And, you know, I think the automakers are going to suffer too. And then all the ones who aren't striking are getting laid off. I think Tesla is the big winner in the end.
Yeah, there you go. Elon Musk seems to always come out on top. Before we let you go, just real quickly on a separate issue, the Fed today, they held their interest rates steady. This is the second time this year. Where do you think things are headed? Obviously, we're still dealing with an inflationary market. Was this expected?
There was a 99.1% chance that the Fed would not hike rates today. So, yes, it was expected. I would say watch what they do, not what they say. What they did was nothing. What they say will be, oh, we're watching and seeing with the data and everything. But I'll tell you two things. Number one, this strike is inflationary because they might not get the 40% that they want, but they could get 20%+. That's inflation. The Fed is trying to kick inflation in the butt. The second thing is because we're pivoting to EVs, oil prices way up. Goldman Sachs says they're going to hit $100 in the next 12 months. That means we're dealing with wage and energy price pressures for a month. What is the Fed going to do? They might have to continue to hike interest rates.
Yeah, what people aren't talking about, particularly on the West Coast, because of certain laws that we have in the books here in Washington State, for example, not only do we have an incredibly high gas tax, but we have a carbon fee that's put on the energy producers. And we're already at $5.04 a gallon, second highest in the country. That's just going to continue to go up. And it's just absolutely insane. It's the only time I'm looking over at you guys in New York and saying, oh, you know, $3.92 on average. That sounds pretty good to me. If you're here in Washington State or, frankly, anywhere on the West Coast. Yeah, it's a nightmare here.
And then, you know what the ironic thing is? Then the fossil fuel, big bad oil companies, they get beaten up for not producing more. Why can't you produce more oil right now to bring prices down? It's like, dude, look at the situation. I was talking to two oil executives over the weekend, and one of them told me that a major firm out of New York City just cut their funding. They pulled back on their support for his oil company because their shareholders are telling them, get out of fossil fuels. He sold his company.
Wow.
Because the private equity funding dried up because the shareholders are being pressured by the climate activists. So you know what? Goldman Sachs at $100 a barrel, I think they're right.
Yeah, no, it certainly seems to be headed that way. If you can't get people to choose to go into the EV world, you basically have to force them. Lauren Simonetti, my friend from Fox Business, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show. Coming up next, The Quick Hits.